Good morning. Welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church. Please remain seated while we sing our opening. To welcome everyone this morning, our second Sunday in Advent. We have a few things we'd like to discuss this morning with you, and the first is a shameless plug from the Congregational Nursing Department. It will be our fifth annual Light in the Darkness service this Wednesday night at 6:30. We urge the entire congregation to come, particularly those who may be troubled, who may be hurting, who may have burdens, which is the theme for this year's service. You will be forever changed once you attend one of these services. It's very beautiful, and we love to have all of you here at 6:30. You'll be through by 7:15 and can get home. Also, today is the last day to make reservations for the Main Streeters holiday celebration, which will be this Thursday, December 11th at 6 p.m. This will be a program from the Greenwood High Show Choir, $6 per person. Make your reservations. You can fill out one of the reservation cards in your pew pockets and put it in the offering plate as it goes by. There are a few more of the December UMW Circle meetings that we'll be meeting this week. Just check your bulletin or your newsletter for the dates and times for those. And finally, there will be churchwide caroling by the doula class. They do this every year, and if you've ever been on this, it is a wonderful, fun time. Everyone is invited, young, old, babies, seniors, everybody. It will be on Sunday, December 21st at 3 p.m. Meet at the church fellowship hall, and you'll be dispersed throughout the community to go caroling. Today, after our service, we are offering a sit-down or takeout meal, sponsoring Dr. Steve Skinner in his yearly medical mission trip. The yearly Skinner dinner, if you will be $6 a person. For those of you who already have reservations, you've already taken care of that. There will be extra plates available. If you have not made reservations, just go back to the fellowship hall. You can get takeout or sit down, and that's for $6. All funds will go toward purchasing medications for Dr. Skinner to take on his mission trip. Let us proceed with worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me for the call to worship. The day of God is coming. Lift up your voices. Cry out with the strength God provides. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to my suffering people. God will feed us like a shepherd. God will gather us in gentle, caring arms. God's hand is upon us. Yes. We are welcomed by God's steadfast love.
I invite you to join me in our invocation. Eternal God, who in Jesus Christ awakens our hope for a new heaven and a new earth, we approach you with troubled but expectant hearts. We are troubled by conflicts within, yet reassured by your promise of salvation for those who trust you. We are troubled by conflicts without, yet encouraged by your pledge of peace for those who follow you. Take from us, O God, the fear that we are not your people, and make us messengers of the hope for peace on earth. Amen.
The first Advent candle reminds us that we wait in hope. We remember our longing for God to be with us. Today, we light a second candle, the candle of peace. This candle reminds us of our dreams for peace in the world. This candle reminds us that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is coming. This candle is a symbol of God's promise of peace, comfort, and strength. Let us pray together. O God, come travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread peace in the world. Amen.
Bunch of cute little things to say this morning about stewardship, and I had some numbers from the recent mailing and a joke or two. But over the weekend, my heart's been troubled. It's heavy with the knowledge of how much pain there is in our community right now. Just among the small number of people that we've met in Greenwood in just the 2.5 years that we've been here, not even the ones that you read about and hear about that we don't know. Some of those that I know are hurting or finding comfort in their church family, this church and other churches, turning to the church to remind them of the hope and promise of Christ, the promise of his plan for us and his love for us. Some of those I know are not. They're lost. They are truly lost. We need strong churches now more than ever. Main Street must stay strong. When Margaret and I got serious about giving our money, in our time, you know, when we quit giving a little here and a little there, and when we got off the fence, when we stopped doing what we wanted to do, we prayed and we listened, and God told us what to do. He continues to tell us what to do if we'll listen. We don't always listen. Those of you who know us know we don't always listen. But we each have a part. Pray and listen, and God will tell us, and Main Street will stay strong. We have to stay strong because people need us. Thank you.
Comfort, comfort, oh my people.
As we come to our time of prayer, I was reminded this morning that this is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. And I remember reading the history of that time where everyone after that unexpected attack was in the church immediately afterwards. I remember when September the 11th happened, everybody of all age and race and station in life showed up in my church in Bamberg, and I'm sure here as well. And we live in a time when there is unrest and threat of violence yet again. All of these sorts of events remind us of one thing, that our hope, our faith, our trust should always be in God, not just in difficult times, but in all times. As we pray, let us remember Miriam Aylwine and her treatments, Billy Tunstall and his treatments. If we have many other concerns and thanksgivings as well, I encourage you to lift those up before God in our silent time of prayer and remind you that the altar is open for personal prayer if you wish to come forward now. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, shake us and make us aware of your presence this morning. The candles are lit, the lights are on the tree, the symbols of your love and power and grace fill the sanctuary. Now soften our hearts and give focus to our minds so we can hear you. Hear your call to follow, your call to trust, your call to the calm and peace of knowledge that you hold us in the palm of your hand. Lord, we wonder how the immediate future will play out. Remind us that the end belongs to you. The future ultimately is in your hands, and by our faith we have entrusted our souls to your strong keeping. Help us to trust you more as bad news looms. Help us to seek your light as darkness casts shadows all around. Lord, give us a vision of your radiance and peace and your presence in our lives. Turn us toward you. Grow us and lead us toward you. Guide us out to others in your name. And give us grace and forgiveness enough to share. And Father, we do pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit and to your will. We pray for those who are within the sound of our hearing, who are grieving, who are fearful, who are bitter, who are wounded, who are shackled by harmful habits. Lord, we lift them before your grace, your mercy, and your power to change. And now, Father, we do pray the silent prayers of our hearts. We lift them before you in this holy moment. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come to the chancel area for the children's message.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. What comes next? Santa Claus is coming to town. Are you getting ready? Is everybody getting ready? You're doing stuff at home? I am too. I'm working so hard on it. I have to be ready all the time, and it just takes a lot of preparation, let me tell you what, to get ready for Christmas. So I always have to have a list. I'm a big list maker. I'm kind of like Santa. I have to have my list and check it twice. So let's see what we have to do here. Oh, I have to get the Christmas trees. Let's see. Yes, I can check that off. That's. I think we have one of the five Christmas trees we'll be doing. Yes. And let's see. I need lights for the tree. And why are they always a mess? And then I'll also, you know, we got to put lights on every surface on the outside of our house. That's really important. And, oh, have to check cell papers because I might need some more lawn art. I may need some of those things that blow up and stuff like that. And, oh, garland. We have to put garland. We have to put garland on the stairs. We have to put them over the windows. And we have to put them up on the chimney. And we have to do all that. Yeah, that's got to be taken care of. Okay. And then, let's see. We've got to, anybody Clemson fans around here? We got to decorate the Clemson tree at home. We got to make sure that gets care of, because, you know, my little boys at Clemson. And then we've got to wrap the gifts, and I don't have any tape. Oh, I'm gonna have to work on that because I gotta get tape, and I've got to make all the fancy bows so that we have bows to put on the things. And let's see what else is in here. Oh, what is this? Oh, that's the nativity thing. Okay. Well, I'll put that over there. I'll deal with that later. Yeah, that's not important right this second. Okay, so then I got to take care of all of that, and then I got to go to the store, and I got to buy the Oreos because Santa likes Oreos at our house. And I've got to mail all those 5,000 Christmas cards that have to go out that I never get out. And then I got to buy more cold medicine because I'm always sick at Christmas because I rush around so much. And, here's Mary and Joseph. That's pretty cool. You want to open them up? Get those out. Here again, we'll deal with that later. Let's see, what else do I need to do here? I got to finish all this gift shopping. Oh, my word. How am I going to get all of this done? All these people. There's Mama and Daddy and Graham and my sister and my brother and Beth and Kirk and Lauren. Oh, how am I going to get all this done? And then I also have to make sure that I have coal for Isaac's stocking. And Graham always likes to have lots of goodies in his, and I always want him to put mine up because, you know, I like those Steinmark cards. And let's see, what else do we need? What have I forgotten here? Let's see, my list. Go to PetSmart for the cat. She's been writing on my list again. That cat, you never can trust her. How am I ever going to get all this done? I mean, with everything I have to do and work and give exams and check them and sing for the Kiwanis Club and write a Christmas story and do it. You know what? I'll skip church next Sunday and go shopping. That's all I can do. Don't tell anybody. Okay. And then let's see. I guess I should find a place for this nativity scene. Now, what happened to my Mary and Joseph? Did somebody got my Mary and Joseph? Yeah, let's put them in there. Let's see. They can go, right there. Now, that's pretty cool. You know, I've pulled in the nativity scene. Something's missing. What's missing? Oops. I forgot about baby Jesus. Ooh, I forgot him. Okay, well, let's see. What else do I have in here? Oh, I got a Bible in here. Let's see what the Bible says about all these preparations I'm making. Let's see. It says in Mark chapter 1, prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming. Have I sort of been missing the point here?
Yeah.
I'm so wrapped up, literally, in all of these preparations for Santa and for gift giving and all of that, that I forgot the baby Jesus and what it's really all about. And now I feel really bad because I have lost baby Jesus.
Huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, you must have dropped it when you were coming in this morning, rushing in.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, sometimes we do that. We rush around so much that we forget that Christmas isn't really about all the decorations, and it isn't really about my Clemson tree, and it's not about whether I get Steinmark cards. It's about the birth of Jesus, isn't it? And sometimes we forget that. So let's all remember that this Christmas, the Christ in Christmas stands for Christ, and we need to make sure he's part of our Christmas, not just Santa. What I want you to do is hold hands with somebody. Grab somebody's hand. And all the big people out there, you hold hands with somebody too. It won't hurt you. You won't get girl germs, guys. I see. You want to give that to me? Thank you. Okay. Well, let's have a prayer, okay? Can we be real quiet and have a prayer? Our Heavenly Father, please help us to know that we need to include Jesus in Christmas, that's what it's really all about, and to help us find the peace that comes with the second Advent Sunday, that we need to get through this season with your help. In thy name we pray, amen.
Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. And I was so wrapped up in the song, I forgot to find my place. Hear now God's word. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you read the full accounting of John the Baptist, he's a very rough and a gruff man. And he reminds me of one of my favorite cartoons of all time. I saw in a Preacher magazine one time. And I have a particular affinity for dogs. I don't speak the language of cats. I mean, they speak Mandarin Chinese. I think dogs speak English. I can understand them. But in this cartoon, there was a whole congregation of dogs, different dogs. And the preacher also was a dog with a robe on. And he was preaching from John the Baptist. And the title of the cartoon was Hellfire and Dalmatians. But he was looking at the congregation and pointing at them, and he was saying, "Bad dog, bad dog, bad dog." And we get that impression from John the Baptist. But there's a lot more to it than that. He's a man saying, prepare by repenting, by cleaning out everything that stands between, knocking down everything that stands between, throwing away whatever walls you off from God and what God is doing and about to do in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people talk about spring cleaning, but when my children were at home, we had pre-Christmas cleaning. And if you're a parent, you know what that means. You know a lot more stuff is coming into your house, so you have to get rid of some stuff. Give it to Salvation Army or to whomever. And John the Baptist comes right in the middle of Advent, yelling, "Repent, repent. Turn back to God. In the past year, you have drifted, you have stumbled, you have started following your own priorities all over again, and you have forgotten to follow God. You have followed instead passing fancies, philosophies, and fashions. You have forgotten about the God who has come to us in Jesus Christ." So John the Baptist speaks to us again, saying, repent, turn back to God. C.S. Lewis pointedly wrote, "Christianity has no message for those who do not know that they are sinners." No message for those who do not realize that they are sinners. That's us. God is righteous, we are not. And that is a side of Christmas that most of the world will not ever be aware of. They will nod at the appealing parts of Christmas, as our children's sermon pointed out, the sweetness, the good cheer, the giving of gifts, but no concept of the deeper meaning of the Christmas event, that the Holy God has invaded our world. The church, that's us. We are called to be those who have seen the light in the darkness and have turned toward God and followed. John the Baptist calls us once again to turn, to return, to repent toward God. In that sense, Christmas is a whole lot like the season of Lent before Easter. It is a time when we're called to clean out the junk we've accumulated, the junk that stands between us and the way of life and light that God has offered in Christ. Some of that junk is in us, not in our closets or under our bed, but in us. It's knowing, chosen, hurtful, wasteful, hateful, self-serving, rationalizing, other-judging, need-ignoring sin. And there's no nicer word for that. Repentance means a complete change of direction. I read about someone who knew this. It was an honest Boy Scout, probably an Eagle Scout, probably someone who came through our program that Isaac would know, but we'll see. He filled out his college application this way. In response to a request, list your personal strengths, he remembered his Boy Scout training. He said, "Sometimes I am trustworthy and loyal and helpful and friendly and courteous and kind and obedient and cheerful and thrifty and brave and clean and reverent." And the form also said, "List your weaknesses." He thought, and he wrote, "Sometimes I am not trustworthy and loyal and helpful and friendly and courteous and kind and obedient and cheerful and thrifty and brave and clean and reverent." And that's the truth. C.S. Lewis was right, and so was John the Baptist. Christianity has no message for those who do not realize that they have weaknesses too, that they are sinners in need of a Savior. If you want some real and intense joy and lightheartedness around Christmas, then get rid of that weight that you're carrying around. Repent and turn back to God. Judge Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that it's not so important where a person stands as is the direction in which that person is moving. John the Baptist asked, John the Baptist screams, "Are you moving toward God, toward God's embrace, toward what God is doing in the world? Or are you moving in self-serving, rationalized, empty ways, piling junk on top of junk and feeling emptier and more lost by the darkening day?" John cries out, "Reform your lives. The reign of God is at hand. Repent, reform, change your lives." There's an old song, and I know we have some folks here old enough to know the words and know the song. It's an old song that could be John the Baptist theme song. I had this morning folks raise their hand if they knew it. If you dare, raise your hand. "There'll be a change in the weather, a change in the sea. There's even going to be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Nothing about me is going to be the same." You know that one? "There'll be a change in me." That's what John the Baptist is talking about. And before we get smug with the small list and that might need a little changing around the edges in our lives, I want to remind you that John the Baptist did not limit the reform and change to what I call the big three problems, the big three sins that radio preachers talk about and TV preachers talk about. No, he's talking about complete change. You know, the big three that the TV preachers talk about: drugs, alcohol, and sex. No, if you've avoided those, there are probably some you have not avoided. Some of us need to clean out a nest of apathy. Have you created a comfy and secure place where you can safely nestle in and do nothing? Where you can observe instead of participate in the world? Is your life a happy den of inertness? If so, then clean it out. Because God always has new things for us to do. Do you need to clean out scorekeeping competition from your life? Maybe in your life everything is a win-lose battle, and you have to be the winner, no matter the cost, no matter the truth, no matter what is right or righteous. Well, you need to cut out that cutthroat competitive spirit and leave room for the growth of a collaborative spirit. Unity and others counts in God's kingdom. Do you need to clean out a smug, self-centered, little Jack Horner set in the corner satisfaction? Do you really think that you are all you need? Do you really think that you are good to go on your own? You don't need other people. That's not true for anyone. God created a relational world of connectedness, from huge ecosystems to those tiny bacteria that live in your digestive tract. Life exists in community, in relationship, in networked connections. As long as we live, we need each other. And some of us need to clean out our perfectionism, but I'm defining this word in a little different way. Are you not happy unless everything is neat and tidy and perfect in your life? You know that good housekeeping motto, a place for everything and everything in its place? Well, have you read the news lately? The world is not a neat and tidy place. Even Greenwood and its future and economy is as uncertain as it has been in living memory. Life is all about thriving in the midst of chaos because stuff happens. And Advent reminds us, if we listen, that the world is not perfect. We can't make it come out neat and organized. The best we can do is trust God in the midst of chaos and move in God's direction. Follow where God's Spirit is leading. If you read the Christmas story by itself, it says that Mary got pregnant. Joseph married her anyway. He needed a dream and a message from God to do that. They had to travel in her final weeks when she was due. There was no room in the inn. Can you imagine Mary saying to Joseph, "I'm not having this baby except under the most perfect of conditions"? That is not the way our world is. It never has been. Why pretend? We need to clean out despair. This is a tough holiday season for so many families in so many ways. The nightly news is a nightmare. And everything that used to be nailed down is broken loose. Mumbai and threats and plots over there and over here, and bailouts that keep coming and layoffs that keep coming and threats, political, environmental, and economic, keep coming. But my point is not to despair. Quite the opposite. Despair is not an Advent attitude, not a Christian attitude. Trust and faith in the face of despairing news is what I intend to preach and leave you with. Advent says, even so, no matter what, God is forever new, rebirthing, redeeming, offering a way up and out and into God's embrace. Mark's gospel starts a little bit like the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It starts with a new beginning. Genesis lays out God's original design for creation, for life, for humans. And Mark, in this text, reveals the continuation of God's beginning again in the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the Advent that we prepare for. Nothing less than the continuation of God's creativity, of our Creator's creativity. Nothing less than God's presence and power brought down to each and every one of us. Nothing less than the incarnate one, Emmanuel, God with us. John says, prepare, repent, reform, return. And in the darkest of days, look. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I love those words from the Gospel of John where it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the darkness could not put it out. God is with us. Even so, no matter the news, we have hope. As we trust in our Lord and our Savior in the presence of His Spirit each day. Amen and amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 for the order of communion. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us briefly pass the peace. I'll ask my servers at the end to come forward. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy,
God of power and might. And now we shall sing the response. Neglected to point out to you that the sung responses are on page 17. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Invite the choir to come forward to be served. Is there anyone we need to come to and serve? Please stand for our closing hymn. To remind before the benediction that those of you who have signed up to work in the WARM project, the Weatherization and Repair Ministry, please meet briefly in the Out Loud morning service area, that stage half of the fellowship hall, with Karen Dent and her committee and those who will be guiding that program. We have a brief meeting immediately after this service. And also there is a lunch after this service as well in the other half of the fellowship hall, so you can stay for both. Now receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the presence and the power and the comfort, even in this moment, of God the Holy Spirit present with us. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.